In a recently published article discussing the findings from research conducted in Germany with a group of macrobiologists and spending a year to assemble what is today the largest thermal physiology data set publicly available, Dr. Joanne Bennett joined us. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
So let's start with this. What is thermal tolerance and how do you measure a species tolerance?
Oh, wow. So, yeah, species thermal tolerance to hot and cold is basically based on their physiology way of dealing with it. So it's internal. So you have warm-blooded animals, and they're ones that use metabolism to maintain a body temperature. And those are things like mammals and birds. And then there's cold-blooded animals, and they're ones that just rely on external heat to maintain their body temperature. So animals have lots of ways in which they tolerate hot and cold, and that can be measured through experiments where basically for cold-blooded animals, we heat them up until they're unable to move or until they die, unfortunately. And then in mammals and birds, we do something similar, but we measure the point where they're no longer able to maintain their body heat through just normal resting processes. And then that's considered their response to heat is their upper thermal tolerance, and their response to cold is then their lower thermal tolerance. And these studies have been done for a really long time, and the data set we used or that I built really just brings all that data that's been published together into a single source so that we can make some comparisons.
So in your article, you say that where species lives determines their thermal tolerance. And considering the theory of evolution, that means that species adapt to their environments to survive. What certain species have done that? And how do we know how long these adaptations take to take place?
So we're able to then look at the evolutionary history of these species with this data set, but it's their current thermal tolerance. And as you said, we found that the strongest predictor of their ability to respond to heat and cold is their current location, like what the temperatures that they're currently experiencing. But we were also able to look at the past speed and patterns of evolution. And what we found was that cold tolerance has evolved much, much faster than heat tolerance. And that's likely because that there's some a barrier to the evolution of heat tolerance. And that makes sense because there's some proteins that are the basic building blocks of all life, and proteins denature when they get hot. So that's really what we think, and that unfortunately means that a bunch of species are unlikely to be able to evolve their heat tolerance, especially given the unprecedented rate of climate change, which explains a lot about why lots of species are moving their range in response to climate, and those that are unable to move in response to climate are likely to go extinct.
Yeah, I suppose that's one thing that sometimes, at least in my experience, doesn't get brought up about the theory of evolution, is that it also verges on those actions like migration and where species situate themselves. So the research also found that tolerance to cold has evolved twice as fast as you mentioned. So why is that something that we should be concerned about? Is that affecting particular species that we interact with? You know, is that going to affect food supplies, crop supplies? Where does this fit into our lives beyond just the impact on the animals that we should be caring for?
Well, yeah, interestingly, we did find that there is some disparity among species. So particularly, and you mentioned more than twice as fast, it's more than twice as fast for many birds and mammals. So many birds and mammals have probably already reached an optimum in their ability to withstand heat. But it was also much faster for all these cold-blooded animals like lizards and fish, but not so much in plants. So something else is going on in plants, but plants have a lot of interesting coping mechanisms for heat, but also they're likely to be obviously affected, in terms of climate change, likely to be affected by drying. Because with climate change, we're getting hotter and drier. So that's something that might explain why plants are less responsive to increases in heat. But yeah, certainly we're going to lose. Because thermal tolerance has this evolutionary signal and it's quite strong, it means that certain groups of species, which are related to each other, are likely to drop out of systems together. And that possibly has really big ecological effects.
All right. Well, Dr. Bennett, thank you so much for joining us here on The Daily to talk about this. It's fascinating, and appreciate your insights.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.